You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In the following contemplation, Reggie invites us to rest in our hearts and allow distractions and judgments to fall away. He says that by learning to trust our hearts, we discover our most trusted guide on the journey, the inner voice of our life. This talk was given at the 2010 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
There's a lot of room for us. On the one hand, there's room for us to be as we are, what we are, how we are, where we are. Room means that we can feel ourselves and experience ourselves and know ourselves without any need to judge it at all. In fact, judgment is an afterthought. It's a distracting fly in the room. So there's the clarity, and also there's the tenderness and the warmth with which we're being held, all of us. And I know that sometimes when we're here, it feels very painful and difficult, and we feel all kinds of things that are hard for us. But what we discover through being here is that that is actually the universe loving us and bringing us through some kind of fire so we can come out and feel how we are loved and how we are held. What we can gain doing this work is overcoming how distracted we are from ourselves. I feel incredibly privileged to sit in my little room and to meet you and to see the power of the life in you and the uniqueness of your human experience and the depth of your devotion for your own existence. I feel so privileged. If I lived for a million years and I could pick any experience I wanted to, and I could only pick one, that would be it. My job is to see what you are and to love the life in you. And if you are watching television, my job is to pull the plug. And if you are feeling your own life, my job is to help you feel it more. And if you're not sure if it's okay to trust yourself utterly, to encourage you to do so. We are often very led astray by what we think. And what we think is learned behavior, obviously. And it's not us. And that's a hard lesson. What we think is not us. Actually, truly, fundamentally, it's not us. It's acquired behavior. It's a temporary flu that we've picked up here, there, and everywhere. And the purpose of practice is to bring ourselves back to who we really are. Initially, the body work helps us overcome our distraction, and it brings us back to a place where we're not totally lost in our heads. And, you know, I grant you that we do the body work and then we're thinking, we do the body work and then we're thinking. But over time, through working with the body, the thinking becomes less interesting. We don't have to push thinking away. Thinking is inherently incredibly boring. When you see what it really is, it is so boring. And the reason it's boring is there's no life in it at all. And the other thing about thinking is it takes a huge amount of effort. One thing you realize, we have a practice in our lineage known as Mahamudra. And part of there's a lot to it, but one of the things you do is you really take a look at thoughts. And you look at them without thinking about them. You just look at them and you see what they are. And one thing you discover is that thoughts actually have no life of their own. They arise and they disappear like a shooting star, or even less than that, a firefly. And the only way we keep thoughts going is that we have to expend a huge amount of psychic energy to perpetuate a certain thought. And we do. You know, we think over and over and over. Repeat the thought over and over and over, such as the thought of me and who I am. And one of the things you discover through the practice is that thinking requires a huge amount of psychic effort. It's totally exhausting. It's much easier not to think. Now that's quite an interesting discovery, that everything is a lot easier and the body is more easy and the energy is more easy if we don't think. When we do the body work, initially we're discovering a lot of wisdom in the body, and we discover, you know, all kinds of things. There's all kinds of knowing that occurs in the body. But at a certain point, we begin to realize there's a mandala in the body. There is a kind of organic, gentle flow of energy. And where the energy is flowing around is the heart, our heart. And we begin to realize that in every situation, the body's wisdom collects itself here, and that our heart actually knows the true way always. It knows the course of our life. It knows what we need to say in this situation to this person. It knows the world. It feels the world around us. And it becomes, during the journey, more and more tender and more open. The heart holds all the sadness of the world and all the sweetness of the world and all the tenderness of the world. And the heart is actually it's that point of our own inner voice, our own inner person. There's a famous text in Chinese called Trust in the Heart. And it is a Chan text, which is the predecessor of Japanese Zen. And the whole point of the text is that our own heart is what we need to trust in every and all situations. In many cultures, the trust in the heart is a foregone conclusion. But in our culture, because of the level of social organization largely, which has led to the world that we live in now, many of us don't even know what our heart feels. And many of us chart our entire life by what we think and what we plan, what we're hoping for, what we're afraid of, strategies and devices and agendas, and there's no sense at all of living out of who we are. We're just living out of what we think. So the body work brings us back initially to our entire body, and then finally to begin to hear much more clearly the voice of our own person, the voice of our heart. I was talking with somebody just a little while ago about the importance of having absolute, I mean, she was saying to me, it's hard for me to commit myself to things that are outside, and, you know, I can't commit myself to this or that, and, you know, I feel ambivalent about making commitments, you know, in relationships or to anything, you know, to, you know, community or whatever. And, you know, whenever we feel that in ourselves, you know, we have that, of course, you know, everybody does, even if they do it. We feel, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I should be, I mean, you know, to be a mature adult, you have to be able to make commitments. And there's all this cultural logic around commitments to external things. And it leaves a lot of us feeling bad about ourselves and confused and, you know, and the, you know, Vajrayana approach, which we talked about, is there's only one commitment that is unconditional. There's only one commitment ultimately that's important, and that's the commitment to our own person, to our own inner voice, and to our own personal sense of direction. And when we avoid committing ourselves outside, it's because we don't want to compromise the life that's within us. There may come a time in our life when an outside commitment is seen to be an affirmation of our inner commitment and an expression of our inner commitment. But until we are really clear that the inner commitment, the commitment to our own inner voice and our own essential person, until we're really clear that that is the one task we've been given in this life to fulfill whether we live or die, outside commitments don't make that much sense, and they can often be distracting for us. Sometimes we feel that we're not sure why we meditate. You know, we're not quite certain why we make this journey and do all these things that we do. But one thing we could safely say is that the entire journey of meditation in this lineage and in the Vajrayana is all about coming to a deeper sense of what our inner voice is and what our heart is telling us, and then developing the wherewithal to act on it. When we practice meditation, it is so important that it's done out of a sense that we are doing it for ourselves. We're doing it in order to deepen our experience of our own life and to clarify what it means to be human and to open to the world and to explore our longings and to follow them. There's no other reason for meditating, and you certainly don't want to meditate to please Trungpa Rinpoche or the lineage or me, or to fulfill some idea you have that it's a good idea to meditate. Those kinds of reasons for meditating are not really valid. The only important reason for meditating is for your own, to nourish and clarify your own life force, the life that the universe has given you and that you are called to live into and fulfill. You know, if at a certain point on the journey we feel called, we feel deep distress about the sufferings of others, and we feel, we see them turning from themselves, that causes us unbelievable pain. to see the way people hate themselves and turn from themselves and deny their own heart, their own journey, their own voice. And there's something in us, as we talked about the other night, that is so deep that wants to say to them, you're beautiful, and your life is very sacred, and you can trust yourself, and you can begin to feel the life in you as a good thing. And then we take the Bodhisattva vow, and it's really a vow to a depth in ourselves. So once again, that commitment to others is an expression. It doesn't replace the commitment to ourselves, but it's an expression of our own deepening commitment to ourselves. And likewise, any other commitment we might make in life, of course, you know, to a teacher, to a lineage, to a community, to a way of being, to a way of being creative in the world, all of it is only valid if it comes out of our own deepest and innermost heart.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.